When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Race Card. This is Race Card on this Saturday morning. It's just after 11 o'clock. Gareth Hall with you. Great to be with you. And it's a big day of racing across the three codes, but especially in the dogs with the Melbourne Cup tonight. And then we've got Group 1 racing in the Winterbottom Stakes there in Perth. Wait for Age race over the 1,200 metres. We've also got some terrific racing there in Melbourne, of course, with the Sipping Classic. It'll be interesting to see how this track plays with the weather around. And we've also got some terrific racing there at Rose Hill. And it is George Moore Stakes Day up there in Brisbane with their summer carnival in full swing. But we had the first heats of the Inter-Dominion last night in terrible conditions. There was some fuels, some interesting results there. And a man that watched it closely was our harness racing guru here on SEN in Darren Carroll. Darren, good morning to you, mate.
Morning, Gareth. Yeah, it was horrendous conditions early, wasn't it? Probably got better as the night went on, but earlier on it was very tough going for all participants.
Yeah, we'll go back and have a look at the heats one by one. We'll start with the first of the Trotters heats at Albion Park last night. And I think there was a few of us keen on Mufasa Metro to lead all of the way, but we probably weren't thinking that Olavici would land leaders back. And once Olavici landed leaders back, he was going to be awfully hard to beat.
Yeah, the two, my ultimate Eddie galloped in the score up and probably took no part in the race. And that allowed Olavici to get leaders back. And that was the difference in the race, Gareth. I'm pretty confident that if Olavici had to sit parked outside, as we thought would probably have to happen, then we reversed the results. So full credit to Chris Lang, he took the most of it and opportunity was there. But I thought Mufasa Metro was only just a run, really. But Olavici nice. Constantinople went a good race. Nothing really out of the ordinary coming out of the race, I didn't think. Did you think the same?
No, I thought, Olavici's a progressive type. It's good to see him put his hand up in a race like that. I think Mufasa Metro, he's a place chance at best in the Inter-Dominion. I don't think he's ever going to win because he tries to make his own luck and he's just vulnerable in the concluding stages, but he's never really far away. But Olavici, I think he's a small winning chance for the series now.
Yeah, with his gate speed, Mufasa Metro always gives himself a chance to be there. And Olavici, definitely in the top five, but we'll see how it goes throughout the series.
So the big story out of night one, I think, was the performance of Rock and Roll Zoo. There was a query in his performance and there was some reasonings, I think, from Michael Stanley, but nothing really I can read in the stewards report that there was any major drama with him. He was out the back in difficult conditions. It was probably the toughest time of the night there to compete in, and he came out three wide without cover after Future Assured went to the front, and he never looked like winning. He didn't get any points. He was down the track back in seventh, Rock and Roll Do. So Future Assured was too good for Tommy Lincoln and Kaneda Pravlima. So, it was a race dominated with the horses on pace. So I don't know what to make of this heat.
Yeah, it was fence, Gareth, and you're right. It was the worst of the conditions. Rain was going sideways at this stage. It's interesting, I asked the good judges up there how to play this track, and they told me the last place you want to be is making ground three wide if they're going a fast section down the back, and that's where he was. Rock and Roll Do was making that run three wide. They went 26-6 the third quarter, and therefore it was just impossible for him to get into the race. They just went too quick at that point of the race, and if we're talking about the way the weather was at that time, 26-6 is lightning quick. So I think they just put pay to him. Yeah, there's probably issues, but let's see how he backs up Tuesday before we panic, I suppose.
No, I think, like, I still think he was disappointing in a way that he didn't really finish off and didn't get past horses like, I know Spirits St. Louis, a quality performer, but I Cast No Shadow and those type of horses. So
I Cast No Shadow beat him home.
Yeah, and he didn't get beat just. He got beat 17 metres. So he was 10 metres further back behind Spirit of St. Louis. Now, I think that the conditions played a part. There's no doubt about that.
It did, because it was all the fence. The top five were all fence going. Yeah. So.
But half an hour later, Better Eclipse won. Like Better Eclipse is like in the zone, thinking that he's a definite, like he's a better chance than Rock and Roll do now in the Inter Dominion.
We underestimate him, don't we?
Yep.
Arrogant Drive, he just put him to the race at the right time. They come home in 26.5. It was just the way he did it, though. He's just push button, isn't he? And we know he can handle the series. We know he's got Greg Sugars, who's just one of the best in the world, probably world-class driver. He's a live chance. We can't discount him, and I think he made a statement last night to say, hey, don't forget about me.
Yeah, I think that he's a massive chance, that horse, Better Eclipse, especially if he draws low. The only concern for mine, if he didn't have that, and Greg Sugars joined me on Giddy Up the other day, if he didn't have that hiccup, say, in a race like the Victoria Cup, when he took on the big boys and failed, if you erase that race from your mind, he's one of the most informed paces in the country at the moment, Better Eclipse.
We chatted about this the other day. He's probably a better chance not drawing well.
Yeah.
His best chance is if Swayze and Leave to Fame go to war and he's sitting on them. So
yeah.
I think in the Victoria Cup, he had to be used off the gate. I'm not sure that's really his go. So,
yeah.
I think that's his best chance. But yeah, he's a chance.
And he drives him well as well. Like, you're right. If he doesn't have to do any work, then he can put him into that race. And I'm pretty sure under the circumstances, Michael Stanley might have done that if it was a dry day or he could actually see from the back of the field. I think when you more I look at that replay now with Rock and Roll Doer, I think he can forget that run and hopefully he can bounce back on Tuesday. Yeah. Leap to Fame did
bad,
what he, yeah, he has drawn bad. We'll get to those races in just a moment. Leap to Fame does what Leap to Fame does. He sat on the pace and won. I don't know if we learnt too much there. Duex won a place for us, which was good.
Yep. It was just pretty regulation, wasn't it, Gareth? So he found the front. Buzzed home in 26.4 again, so the times wise. He was super impressive, soft, did everything we would have expected him to do. I thought Narano was really good, actually, because he made a mid-race move, and I thought he was outstanding, really, so... might be a sneaky race for him throughout the series, but you need to find the right race. Deus Ex went to how we thought it would lead, take the sit. That was his opportunity. I thought he just sort of battled into third, and I don't think I'd be going back to that well again.
No. Then we move on to Swayze. He did enough, didn't he? That's what Swayze does. What did you make of his effort?
Exactly right. He did what he had to do. We always know that he finds another gear when something comes close to him, but nothing ever came close to him. So he just let him amble out of the gate. Smart drive. It was a smart Inter Dominion heat drive, Gareth. He saved a bit of petrol in the tank and did it easy. So a little playboy and turn it up. They were sound efforts. Nothing really come off the speed out the back, so yeah, I think it went the way we thought it would be, but was nice. It was a nice pipe opener considering where he's been travelling overseas and New Zealand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good start to the series for him.
Massive concerns for Queen Alita. Plymouth Chubb went past her like she was standing still.
Yeah.
What did you make of her? I just looked at the replay then. She got the front easy. She was disappointed.
Plymouth Chubb was my best roughie for the series, but I didn't think he could do what he did last night. I just thought, he was probably the fifth or sixth best in the race, and I just thought he's the kind of horse that will improve over the series because he came back looking like he was in foal.
Yeah.
And, he will improve, no doubt whatsoever, but I had no idea he could do that. They'd come home in 27.7. I thought she was a bit flat, He just went straight past her. So a bit of a shock. Do we panic? The next one's more impressive, but he'll need to improve. She will need to improve, off that to be able to win. Plymouth Chubb, if he keeps going through, then he might be a contender.
Yeah, like that was so impressive. Cameron Hart in the gig. He's a wonderful driver, isn't he, C. Hart?
Yeah.
They just run for him.
And he's not really renowned for his speed, Plymouth Chubb.
No.
More of a tough type horse. He did win a heat of the Great Southern Star last year, but he's not renowned for coming off a sit and just doing that. That was blistering, really.
Yep. It was sensational. Just Believe did it in second gear. He got crossed and then he worked to the front, and then he'll be a lot shorter now for the final, I would imagine.
Yes, with Queen Elida getting beating, he'll be a lot shorter. Another classic Greg Sugar's heat winning drive. Did it perfectly, let it unfold, and knew that he had the best horse, so knew he'd get the front, and he just won it with ease, really.
Having a look at the draws now for the pacing heat round number two, Pete Said So's drawn barrier number one, Speak the Truth 2, Tis a Sizzler 3, Jewess X 4, Send It 5, Mr. McLaren, Rock and Roll Do outside that front row, Swayze's 8, Miracle Moose 9, Northview Hustler 10, Future of Sword 11, and Can't Find a Better Man 12. That's an interesting race. See what Rock and Roll Do can do from that draw.
Yeah, it is an interesting race. He'll be a little bit concerned, won't he, about what he does tactically, but he's going to have to put him into the race because he's going to have to earn points. He can't afford to sit back. So it's really interesting. Swayze's an awkward draw, but, it's not the end of the world if he doesn't win, is it, Gareth?
No.
I'd be reluctant to be betting too confidently into that race based on the barrier draw and how it's unfolded.
Better Eclipse still looks the horse to beat in race number three despite the draw. There's no real big guns there. Captain Shaffle's barrier 10, Narano 7 was good the other night. Manila Playboy's drawn 4, Tim's a Trooper in 3, Turn It Up 1.
Yeah, I thought based on his win last night, then, he'd be clearly the one to beat there.
Yeah. Leap to Fame's got a second.
He'll be a very short favourite, won't he?
He'll win. And Leap to Fame's got a second row draw. He should just roll to the front whenever he wants, basically, in race four.
Yep, they all look like their hand-up jobs there. He'll be $1.10 again.
Yeah, and Queen Elena's drawn barrier 3 against Olavici, Mari Law, Constantinople. Be interesting to see if she can bounce back.
She has to bounce back. If she doesn't, then the other one will be starting very, very short price favourite. But, I think she'll get the job done there, Gareth.
And then we've only got two heats of the trotters and three heats, of course, for the paces there on Saturday night because it's over the longer trip. And now we've got, Plymouth Chubb Barry 2 takes on Just Believe inside second row. If he goes, he'll lead Plymouth Chubb.
He flies the gate. Sarah Fahrenheit flew the gate last night, but they'll be happy to take a sit. Plymouth Chubb will lead. He's not a hand-up horse either, so it's going to be a race, this one. So this will be defining of how the series goes to a large degree, but Just Believe, again, doesn't have to be given a gut buster, but Plymouth Chubb, certainly will be very interesting to see how he goes.
I wonder if the markets are other markets out for these races. Just having
Fields come out late last night. So
they should be out
though. Tuesday. They're up, Gareth.
We're looking for some value. Pete Said So, $5. Speak the Truth, $4.60. Swayze, $2. Rock and Roll Do's a bet, isn't he? $5.
Not off the back of last night.
No.
I think it's a dangerous race to get too involved in because of the barrier draws.
Yeah.
Second round heat.
Yeah. Better Eclipse at $2.20.
That seems like a good bet to me, Gareth.
I just think with Rock and Roll Do,
$4.60.
Yeah, I think with Rock and Roll Do that if he gets conditions to suit, no excuses. Michael Stanley was talking him up before round one, so I think he needs to make a statement. Leap to Fame $1.25 as expected. Queen Elida $1.65. That's short, but she's expected to lead. And then you've got Plymouth.
Well, when you look at it, if you go Olavici 360, second pick. Well, Olavici hasn't been able to beat her.
No. But either is Plymouth or... up.
I know. Yeah.
And then you take 360 Plymouth Chubb. You could take him against Just Believe, could you, or not?
I probably want a little bit better price than the 360, Gareth.
Yep. All right, then.
I don't think I'll be rushing into 360.
And then you have a look at the future markets for the Inter-Dominion. So Leap to Fame, $1.80. Swayze, $3.80. I think they should still be closer together. Rock and Roll Zeus, $7.50. I know Better Eclipse, $7.50 has been the big mover, and Rock and Roll Zoo at $12. And then for the Trotters final, $1.60 Just Believe, $5 now Queen Alida, Olavici to $7.50, and Plymouth Chubb, $51 into $10. Mufaso Metro's been easy at $12.
Well, it's pretty thin, isn't it? Nothing outside what we saw last night, there's nothing outside those top four could win, could
No, 100%. Anything tonight for us, Daz?
I don't mind race 2, number 9, Magnetic Terror. Andy Gaff got a run in every race tonight, so I'm hoping he had a good night. So I like race 2, number 9. First up, it was very good. Fitter, okay, second row, barrier draw. Just found a suitable race for me, race 2, number 9, Magnetic Terror. And the other one I don't mind is race 4, number 9, Cool Night. Again, Andy Gaff, but this is a 3-year-old. He went very good throughout the three-year-old Breeders' Crown Series. So he ran fourth last week and it was an excellent run. This is a 1,200-metre race, but Andy and Kate just win these races for fun. They just win them every time. So they love these races. They set them up. They know how to drive them. I know it's a tricky draw, but I think it's the best horse in the race. So race 2, number 9, Magnetic Terror, and race 4, number 9, Cool Night.
Good on you, mate. We'll chat during the week on Giddy Up.
See you,
guys. Great to catch up with Darren Carroll. 16 minutes past 11, or 19 minutes past 11, I should say. Let's take a quick break on the other side of it. We'll start to preview the Melbourne Cup and the Greyhounds. And a young kid by the name of Will Norman, who is a part owner of Tim Zoo, has got some story to tell, and he'll be telling us that story straight after this. This is a great story. Welcome back to Race Card this Saturday morning, 11:24. Gareth Hall with you. There's $1 million up for grabs in the Group 1 Melbourne Cup at Sandown Park and the Dogs. And Will Norman's a young man that loves his racing. But he's got some story to tell because he part owns Tim Zoo, who will be going around as one of the leading chances. In fact, he's the clear second favourite behind the favourite, of course, in Big Energy. And Will Norman joins us now. G'day, Will. Welcome to Race Card on this Saturday morning on SEN Track.
Hey, Gareth, how are you?
I am well, mate. Now, tell us the story on how you got into this dog.
Oh, yeah. One of my dad's mates just gave us a small share for me brother, me and me dad. So, yeah, he's the first dog we've ever owned and we've just been following. It's been a great ride so far. And, yeah, hopefully can get the job done.
So you purchased him, Jason Thompson, one of the very best trainers, prepares him. So was he the only dog you purchased at that time?
We purchased two other ones.
Okay.
And one of them we don't have anymore, and the other one's still started getting into his career. But, yeah, Tim's the one who's gone real well.
There you go.
Yeah, it's been unreal.
So can you believe that when you tell your mates that you're racing, I think it's $600,000 to the winner? Tonight, so
yeah.
Trainers get half of that, so that's $300,000 into the owner's pockets. What do you tell your mates? Do they know the impact this could have if you do win?
Yeah, no, it's been good. All our mates, we've been going and following all these races, and yeah, we're just loving the ride. And win or lose, it's going to be a great night. And yeah, they all love it as well.
Yeah. Someone, I think you showed me a picture there the other day when I caught up with you. In fact, it might have been last night at the Valley. And you showed me a picture with a group of your mates who took a photo with your dog, Tim Zoo, after it won.
We went down to the Meadows one night and got on the track and got a flick with him. And, yeah, we're going off when he won the race. And the race caller said there's a few blokes going off their chops down there.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Plenty of carry on.
So, how many of you going to Sandown tonight?
Probably about 20, I reckon, of me mates.
Yeah.
And yeah, got my old man's coming down too. And even got me missus coming who's not into greyhounds at all.
Well, she's in it. I think you're, what, Like, I think there'd be a pretty handy Christmas present to the girlfriend, wouldn't there be, if you can taste success tonight?
Yeah, she's hoping for that.
Yeah. What's Jason Thompson saying? Have you had a chat to him?
Nah, I've never met him, but I've met Holly a few times at the track, and yeah, she loves him too. And yeah, I think they're just really happy with how he's gone.
Well, that's sensational, mate. So you can live the dream. Tim Zhu from box number, you're six or seven? Six, seven?
Seven. Seven. Yeah, he was in six last week and got the job done, so hopefully he goes well again.
We'll be hearing you guys anyway if you win tonight. It's some story. You're living the dream. You're so bloody lucky to have one of your first dogs anyway, or the first try into ownership with greyhound racing. You've been able to find a greyhound as good as Tim Zhu. So we wish you the best of luck. You're a lot more talkative after you've had a couple of sherbets, old Willie boy.
Yeah, no, me and you, we got plans for after the race if he wins tonight.
Okay, so where are you taking me?
I think we're going to go to Chapel Street, weren't we?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I might be getting a little bit long in the tooth for Chapel Street. What, 161, or what other places do you go to these days?
We'll go to Circus Bar.
Circus Bar. All right, then. Ollie Landos, our producer, he's a bit of a DJ as well, so he starts work at 4 a.m. He's in that kind of field. So, hey, mate, we wish you the best of luck. You go and get them and live the dream. And I tell you what, your mates will be getting in the next greyhound that you get into.
Yeah, it's been a journey, and hopefully just gets through well and keeps going.
Do you have a winner today for us at the races?
The horses.
Yeah.
I don't mind looking at Duke DeSessa in the wet.
Yeah. All right, then. I think every man and his dog are on Duke DeSessa because of the wet, but he'd be carrying the hope of half the nation anyway on this Saturday afternoon, the Zipping Classic. Good on you, mate. Well done, Will. We'll see you at the Dogs tonight.
Cheers, Gareth. See you there.
There's Will Norman. So I think he purchased the dog. His percentage was $500. And if he wins tonight, he gets to take home $18,000. So not a bad investment for a young man at university living his dream with a greyhound like Tim Zhu, who is the second favourite. If the favourite needs to make a mistake, Big Energy. But if he does, Tim Zoo's right in the ballpark here. And if he begins like he did last week and the favourite misses it, they won't beat Tim Zhu. He nearly broke 29 seconds on a rain-affected track. So he's the real deal on his night. Greyhound racing, you need a little luck. But the way that Big Energy is jumping at the moment, then he's split down the back. He's the best dog in the land. He's the best dog in the world. So he will need to have an off night for the opposition to defeat him tonight in that Group 1 Melbourne Cup. What are you doing with your race card? If you could mark it for us, let us know. Rain in Melbourne, rain in Sydney, definitely rain in Brisbane. Best bets across the country with our experts, Morphinville. Hope at Hand is a play there as Heath Pope's best bet. Race 5, number 4. Jaminga, race 8, number 7, his best value. He says, have something on Cheeky Cheeky Bella as well, race 7, number 8. In New Zealand today, race 7, number 10, Shoes, the best there for Mitch Davis. And Shane Curlio, whatever you want to really call him, he likes Bill Pomeria at $61, now into $41, race 2, number 8. He's keen on acquitted. I think everybody's really keen on my best bet anyway, Caulfield first race. What price we're getting now for the Peter Moody Train Galloper at Caulfield, which we're only 36 minutes away. She's into $3, Anisa. So she could be the play there in race number 1, Damien Lane writes. So, 36 minutes away from the opening event there. The Hong Kong Jockey Club, visit the HKJC.com. Tom Wood joins us. Tom, hello to you, mate. Not far away now. This time next week, we'll be getting set for the big international meeting. In fact, Wednesday night's got the International Jockeys Challenge. So it's the place to be at the moment, Hong Kong.
It certainly is. Gareth, hello to you. It's a good time to be here in Hong Kong. Weather's really good as well, and most of the runners have pretty much all arrived. We had a couple of defections yesterday. Of course, Russian Emperor's not going to line up in the Vase. The horse from America is not going across now. Soldier Rising and Courier Wonder also came out of the sprint yesterday. So a couple of defections in the last 24, 48 hours, but can confirm the Aidan O'Brien quartet arrived first thing this morning. So they are here. Luxembourg, Warm Heart, also coming across for Aidan O'Brien. Aesop's Fables and Cairo, they've all arrived in the early hours of this morning.
Such an advantage, isn't it, with a quarantine laws in Hong Kong for horses like those European gallopers and from Bally Doyle, they can arrive, what, a week out?
Yeah, pretty much. They would have got on a plane yesterday over in Ireland, and so they've made their way across, and they looked in good order when they got off the float this morning after the long journey across. But yeah, it's a little bit further than what sort of they tend to do in terms of going to Dubai. A lot of them like to go down there, but see, it's only a little bit further to come to Hong Kong, and they straight into the quarantine centre.
All right, mate. What, like, when do the fields out? When do the fields come out for Wednesday then?
The entries are out now on the website, yep. hkjc.com. So there's 9 races, early start time for the first, and then the jockeys allocation, I think, begins at 10 o'clock Hong Kong time on Monday morning. So that'll take place out at Sha Tin. I'm not sure if all of the jockeys will be there, but most of them will be. If they're not, they'll certainly be there, all of them, on Tuesday afternoon for the press conference. And it's a lot more even than it used to be. A system developed by Dominic Byrne to even it up. So certainly the Jockey Challenge boys in that department who set the odds for the Jockeys Challenge, they have a little bit to do with it as well.
Yeah, Dominic Byrne was lucky enough to play golf with the great man the other day. And, geez, he's made quite an impact in the sport of racing, hasn't he? He's form analyst for all the big guns. He consults everybody. And then, of course, he's even doing helping out the Hong Kong Jockey Club to make sure they get the jockey system right, so we don't get too many odds on favourites. And the jockeys, because they're such a competitive lot, they think they're unfairly treated if they get a bad ride or they get a few bad rides. So hopefully this gives everybody an opportunity to show their class, and we get to see the best winner on the night. But they'll complain, won't they? The jocks will be, oh, I didn't get a barrier or something like that.
There'll be something like that. But in terms of actually having the rocks or horse in the race, obviously the handicapping department, they put a little bit more money on top of those races as well in terms of prize money for trainers and owners. So we do get the better horses targeting those races, and they sort of weed out a few of the ones that haven't been in great form. So, it's been certainly evened up over sort of the last 4 or 5 years that I've been here anyway.
All right then, mate. What about tomorrow? How do we make some money?
Yeah, a lot of races on the dirt tomorrow. It's a charter, of course, protecting the turf. So we've got 6 dirt races, 4 turf races. I think we can go to one of the turf races at least with race 9, number 1, a horse called Meep Meep. Now, with this horse here, it's trained by John Size, Zach Curtin riding. He'll probably come up flip of the coin odds, 2.1, 2.2. But on his first run, he looks tough to beat. Race 9, number 1, Meep Meep. Race 6, number 4, Flying Ace for Zach Curtin and David Hall. This horse is just a winner in waiting, but he never draws a gate. There's a lot of pace in this race. He'll go back, and one would think he can run on strongly. His first run on the all-weather, but being by Swiss Ace, Nick Congeny normally does handle the all-weather here at Sha Tin pretty well. So race 6, number 4, Flying Ace. And for some belly, race 3, number 11, Harry's Hero, getting onto the all-weather for the first time. This horse won on the all-weather over in the UK, over 1,895 metres. He's running over 1,800 metres tomorrow for Ricky Ute, and Tegan DeMello is riding. We'll need some luck from the draw, but I think going on to the surface is a plus. But the ultimate best, Gareth, race 9, number 1, Meep Meep.
All right, mate, you go and get them. Enjoy next week. We'll chat to you on numerous occasions, if that's okay, on Giddy Up and on Race Card as we get set for International Week. But what's, just before we let you go, what's the talk around Hong Kong? Will it be another big week for the locals headed by Romantic Warrior and Golden 60? Or do the locals think that they might be a little bit vulnerable this year with the international representation, especially from Europe and Japan?
Yeah, I really think the locals could be slightly on the vulnerable side this time round for International Day. Of course, in the sprinter, I really do feel like Lucky Swain X is racing like a bit of a tired horse, and I'm not the only one with that opinion either. And he's coming into this, he's had plenty of work, he's been up for a long, long time. So I think there's every chance that he could get rolled. Maybe Japan could even do it in the sprint with a horse like Mad Cool, who's going to go forward and set up a good tempo. When it comes to the mile, of course, the Japanese have brought some quality horses across there. Golden 60's first up. So, look, he's 8 years of age now. It's going to be almost sort of unknown what he might do come International Day. We know he's got a very good fresh-up record. He's been trialling well, but there are some quality horses out of Japan coming over for that as well. I think in terms of a race, Hong Kong probably has a little edge with Romantic Warrior when it comes to the cup. But again, there's some quality horses in that race. Aidan O'Brien's got some horses like Luxembourg across here, and he's got a lot of quality about him. And then when it comes to the VAR, that's the race that's always very tough for Hong Kong to win. I think it could be a Japan 1-2 in the VARs this year.
Yep, I thought Equinox could have headed over for the Hong Kong Cup for his final farewell, but I can't believe they put up stumps after the Japan Cup. But
if only.
Hey, mate, we wish you the best luck. Enjoy. Look after our man David Taggart. Will be there this week, so we're sending him rogue. So hopefully, behaves himself first of all, and gets. I've given him a job to get 3 exclusive interviews for us. So we'll see how he goes.
Okay, if you don't watch, you might not get those interviews.
Well, you've got to make sure he doesn't go there, all right? Don't give him any recommendations, Tommy. Good on you, brother.
See you later.
There's Tommy Wood there. For the latest on Hong Kong racing, go to hkjc.com. Welcome back to Race Car. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I say I might even open the lines. I should have asked you about this if I could do this. I don't know under the rules and regulations of... Like, if someone could sell me the best $100 bet, I'd put that on for them. Can you do that?
I think you might be able to. Hang on. Yeah.
Yeah.
David Taggart, the soundtrack of...
1-300-2355-48. Sell me a bet today. 0499-736-736, 1-300-2355-48. You can't do that. I'm only joking. But
you can do it. Well, I'm doing Sunday Talkback now. Worked last week.
If you can... Sell me a $100 bet, I'll put it on for you. Like, tell me what I would do with $100.
Well, do you know what I did? Do you want me to give you something?
Yeah, just, like, sell it to me. So, Gareth, you need to do
this today. I'll give you the sell, right? Yep. So, my bests have been either winning or running second or third for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
So, I went copping a bit of heat. If I'm missing, I'm only just missing. So, I adjusted on Wednesday.
Yep.
And I went, just place multi.
Safe.
Your bests.
Yep.
So, $7 Wednesday. Boom. Lands.
Yep.
Thursday, $5. Boom, lands.
Yep.
4 best today. Steered clear of Sydney and
Caulfield.
4 best up as a place multi.
Yes.
And got the price is $4.60.
Perfect.
Is that not a sell going for 3 in a row?
It's like you don't have to be a hero when you haven't played too much golf to get the big wood out.
It's almost handicap golf.
Just play off the 4-iron.
I'm a max handicapper playing Jules, who's off 6, and I'm going to roll him in points.
All right, then. Tomo's got racing.com and Sky 2 on. We're a Sky Racing 1 station here, Tomo. We're not looking. Oh, the Ballarat Dogs. So I'm keen on this Moody Train runner in the first, which is about to
Anisa.
Come. Yes, Anisa, 22 minutes. It's into, what, $3 now? $2.90. So it continues to be well backed.
Right.
I was hoping it would start about 3:40.
Now, well, look, I said this before to you and I've come in here again. We're soft 5 now and it's still raining outside, right?
Yeah.
So this is going to be 6 or 7. I'm nearly sure of it.
100%.
Yep. So, and just with Caulfield, especially this day, a lot of these races, some of these races are an afterthought. When you're coming late in the spring, some of them are targets for these horses. You've got, especially in the first race here, you've got a lot of horses on debut. You don't really know who's actually genuinely going to handle it. On form, on what's in the race, you'd have to be with Anisa.
Yeah.
But this is not the day to go and smash Sydney and Melbourne. I'm trying to explain that to people. I think there's money to be made today, but this is your smart punting today. Same race, Maltese.
Be patient, yeah.
Patient. You've got to be patient.
Well, Brisbane's difficult. Heavy track there. Who knows?
Yeah. And especially like...
Cherlio's got one for us. $61 race two.
Did the boys tips their own, Celestial Fury at Rose Hill? In the midway?
No. Oh, well, I haven't heard from them. Dino tried to ring me during the show. Dean Watling, this is, and Mickey Gannon. At Doomba today, do you have an opinion? This is like with me marking a race card.
Do you want a couple?
Bilpa Maria.
What race?
Number 8. Race 2, number 8. $41 now. It was 71 when he tipped it to us this morning, Julio. Yeah,
wild this race. Win Some Star. I know there's wraps on this. I haven't seen it yet on a deck like this. I'm thinking that it'll be able to handle it. The run in behind Warby in the Class 1 went to the Sunny Coast again in open grade in behind More Trouble, a Red Defcon. It reads 6 from 11, but it was only a length off them, right? I know the horse has got ability. I think it can probably win. More Trouble can win. Felix the Scat, that's had a trainer change, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about it. Encoder's got ability. This is what races dead set so, wild.
From my shows this morning, all right, if I wanted to get the best value is from our tipsters, Bilpa Maria, if you like value, so race 2, number 8 from Shane Churlio. At Morfordville, Heath Pope, who's a good judge, he liked a couple at a price. Race 8, number 7, and that was a horse by the name of Jaminga. And then he liked Cheeky Cheeky Bella, which was race 7, horse number 8. At around $14.370, and your man Terry Layton, and I've got three really good judges that have told me this horse is over as Brave Strike, and it's,
they're all talking about this.
Yeah, I know. Some of the three of the better judges that I know, and I know a lot of judges have all told me about this horse, Brave Strike. Now into $14. It was $19 this morning.
27s at the open.
Correct,
but if Terry's on. That's I tell you right now, people don't think that one person moved markets. I've done it with Terry.
Yeah, I know.
And he does it.
But he said, like, it was solid at $19 today, still, after he'd been getting on all week.
Don't get off your old mate here.
Who, Generosity?
No, your old mate in regards to Neville Parnham. Investment strategies on the quick backup here. Now, that it didn't get a lot of favours from the inside draw and was 2.2 off Zip Away, right?
That's a good record, that race. The Guineas back to the Sir Ernest Lestier.
Yep. Now, I put Red Torrey, Augment, and Investment Strategy. I don't have Brave Strike in my quaddy.
Don't you?
Nope.
What about, I think Brave Strike and Generosity are two of the best chances. Have you got Generosity in there?
I've got 1, 3, 8, and 9. Storm Chasers, my other one I've got
Haven't
in there.
Haven't you got Generosity in there?
Hang on. No, that's Caulfield. 1, 3, 5, and 10. 1, Investment Strategy, Storm Tracer, Augment, and Red Torrey.
I think Brave Strike and Generosity are the two horses to beat.
Yeah, well, I just didn't have them. I'm a Simon Miller man.
I'm telling you, you got to put them in your quaddy.
Well, I don't have them in.
Well, Simon says. I think Brave Strike and Generosity.
I may do another one. I've got Duchess of Gossip, clearly the best in race 8. Yep. Rusty Dreams and Baby Paris are danger. Race 9, you know what I've done with that?
No.
I've said I'll back Overpass to win the money bottom. And then Ripcord and Oscar's Fortune because they're overs. Race 10's loose.
Do you know sometimes you go?
Just quickly, we'd missed a feature there at Doomben. I just wanted to mention, there's a horse here that if he behaves himself, he can win this, and that's called Natuno.
Yeah, he was good the other day.
Mate, he's got serious ability, but he overraces a little bit in run. Mm. But he is 2 from 3 on a heavy deck, Natuno.
Swims. I like the other horse there, the Robert Heathcote Train Galloper. Not Roth Fire.
The Big Goodbye.
Yeah. I know he hasn't got the class of some of those horses up the top of the market, but he loves the conditions and he should have won first up.
He's an addition to the stable, isn't he?
Yep.
He used to be in the Yulong colours, didn't he, from memory? Green, or he was green
I'll
with
have to
white.
Check that.
It might have been Wallop, but it was the green with the look like the Yulong colours.
I've got one for you. When you look at like setups and profiles, you know, sometimes when you're doing your form, and you're just like, you're going through the trainers, and then you have a look at the owners, and there's a horse in race 6, I think it is, in WA, Sam Fabrizio. So D. Oliver rides for the great S.J. Miller, and you think, S.J., one of the great punting trainers of all time. Like he punted, they nearly won millions there the other day, 2 weeks ago, when Black Spirit and Holy Enchantment, like 21s into 9s. Sam Fabrizio ran 4th that day, and they had another one that was unlucky that finished 4th. So...
Do you know how you're going to get a guide on this?
Yes.
You're going to get a guide from race 2.
With the weather. Yeah,
no.
The wind.
If Count de Sessions comes out and wins race 2, which it can because you've got Yonga Lass in there as well, this is a horse that ran in behind Yonga Lass and Count de Sessions in that last race. So if Yonga and Count de Sessions gap them in race 2, watch the price. Go pile into Sam Fabrizio.
I think that SJ set this horse up. And you look at the ownership group. And you've got Paddy Oliver and Trish Oliver, and Oliver rides. So he'll be winning. Like SJ would have targeted this race knowing this is Ollie's last chance to ride a winner for his family, I would imagine. It's a fairy tale story. As I said, there's no better trainer that I know in my time that like to set up a horse like SJ. Old fashioned jock. Yeah.
Second up. It hasn't won second up before.
Yeah, I think it'll be winning. Well, it'll be at its best anyway.
Well, I want a bit more of a market move. $6 into $5.50, wide open.
Yeah.
I'll follow you in, but I want to see the form franked in race two.
Now, you're looking after the Punters Club today, they tell me, this afternoon.
I don't know how I'm... JJ said I was, but he didn't tell me anything. So.
Yeah, so you got $2,000 to play with.
And so what do I do? Just
There's a few passwords. You can mention that when afternoon starts. So we wish you the best of luck, Milo.
Hey, it's the first time I've ever done it in 3 years.
Well, there you go.
In 3 years.
Well, don't stuff it up.
Mate, who you're talking to, please.
Hey, Milo, you go and get a cup of tea, have some lunch. What's on the... And then what's on lunch? What's lunch today?
Well, I just actually managed to go in and pull out my great Bataki ham, so I might just pull the knife out.
Okay.
And I'm a bit old school, country old school, mate. Yep. I'll just go slice it straight off the bone and have a bit of Bataki ham.
Cameron Luke's back. Who else is on the show?
No, just Cam and I.
All right, well, wish you the best of luck.
Don't need it.
Yeah, no. You always need a little bit of luck. Have a wonderful day. I'll be back on Monday morning for
Giddy
Up. Love you too, Milo. Happy birthday for the other day.
Thanks, buddy.
Merry Christmas, everyone.